Noi, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Pleasure being with you.
So the overriding thing, I guess, with this news that's come out recently, Bishop has speculated that ISIS may use this crisis for even more terrorist attacks. How real do you think this threat actually is?
Well, it's a classic instance of, I suppose, forces capitalizing on a situation of instability. And unfortunately, and I would regard it as an unfortunate thing, the assessment that this is the sort of situation where ISIS might insinuate itself is only plausible if you consider, for example, that there has been an ongoing, as it were, security problem in the Rakhine region, and that's one of the ongoing things that, and these are, of course, there is a Muslim element to this too, but what cannot be denied is that the main problem, to a large extent, has been the oppressive methods and tactics used by the Burmese military. Ultimately, it's the heavy-handedness coming out of the Burmese measures from the part of the state that tends to be the big problem here. And, of course, the possibility of resisting it may come in the form of ISIS, but it may come in the form of just militant Islamic groups. So that's the possibility, certainly.
Now, Australia does have an embargo happening on Myanmar at the moment. Where does this come into it? What's the deal with the embargo?
Well, it's a curious situation that reminds me of other instances when an embargo is put in place, which is to, of course, prevent the situation from escalating. So the assumption of an arms embargo is not to, as it were, permit arms to go into a region so that it then, of course, escalates the conflict further. A very similar instance was taking place during the Yugoslav Civil War, where there was an arms embargo certainly specific to Bosnia-Herzegovina, of course, in the context of the wars there. What it means, of course, is that it's a statement, essentially, that any arms embargo is bound to be of benefit to the military, who, of course, already have their arms. That's not an issue for them, the Burmese military. And, of course, it's an issue of whether militants get arms, which is one of the reasons why the embargo is also in place.
And so I've heard a suggestion as well that perhaps the way forward is to reverse this embargo. What would your opinion be on that?
Well, I think any instances, because an embargo effectively is a tantamount declaration of intervention of its own sort. What it's saying is essentially you're going to restrict, as it were, armaments or restrict particular means of engaging a conflict. It just might as well, you know, one might as well simply not have one in place, quite frankly, because we've got a situation where there is a security problem. There's no doubt the case, but the security problem is years old, it's decades old, in fact, stems from the time when there was, in fact, a full-fledged military dictatorship. But now what we tend to see, of course, is the ongoing interest in this particular region and the desire to, one, contain, and then if not contain, then certainly remove the Rohingya population. And the second thing, of course, is to consolidate natural resources. You have to remember that that's one of the reasons why there's also these interests in that state.
And so, a lot of criticism has been floating around, I guess. You know, a lot of it's quite been directed at Aung San Suu Kyi. And, of course, you know, just a whole bunch of criticism flying around. As Australia, I guess, what is our role in this situation? Do we have any responsibility to, I guess, get involved or help out?
Well, the responsibilities that will arise in this case, quite frankly, is to not necessarily make the situation worse. So one of the ways of doing that is to not start doing what the foreign minister seems to be implying, which is to start sort of suggesting that this is going to be a hotbed for future Islamic State or ISIS activity. And by doing that, it does tend to delegitimize, as it were, the efforts that are also being made, as it were, in Rakhine State, seek some form of, if not recognition, then certain acknowledgement that there has been a case of injustice being perpetrated there towards the local population. So that's one side of it. The other, of course, is Australia's refugee obligations, which, of course, let's face it, have been rather scant of late in a more international context. You know, what will happen, of course, is that these individuals, the Rohingya especially, will no doubt at some point be funneling down the various alleys and lanes in terms of refugees across Southeast Asia, possibly even towards Australia. So the obligation on the part of Canberra is to make sure that there are means, as it were, in place to cope with this refugee crisis. Bangladesh can't absorb everybody, and nor should it.
It is definitely one that we'll have to keep an eye on as it unfolds. Benoit, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
A It's a pleasure, Anita.